the time of World War II, during what's called the London Blitz, the Nazi Luftwaffe was going over to London. Would go down into what they sometimes call the tube, that which is the underground area where their subways were. And as long as there was light on in that, they could do fine. But when those lights went out, the secondary lights being bombed or something like that, it was something that was very difficult for the people to deal with. Darkness has that kind of capacity. It's one that can cause one to do things that one wouldn't otherwise expect to do, to lose one's mind, the facility of thought. It's known by those who are prisoners that being in isolation, being without light, is one of the things that will drive them to a place of being ready to give up in a quick way. The Bible doesn't use the term of darkness as representative of that without truth, that which is away from God for no reason. It takes that for a very clear reason. That in the absence of light, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for one to continue on in a reasonable life. But in the presence of that light, then there is something that can be seen. There's a direction that is had to where one can live a life that is of a way that's responsible, a way that is living in truth. We want to look at that for just a little while this morning. And notice, this time, the idea of a life in darkness. What causes that? What does it do? Where does it go as a result of that? And then next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at the opposite side of that. A life that is in the light. A life that is according to truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 17 beginning, the Apostle Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." I want you to notice where it is that that starts. The idea of that starting is when you look at what causes a life that is in darkness, well, the obvious point of it is that it's the ignorance of God and His will. That's where it begins, and that's what Paul talks about here. When you notice, for instance, in verse 17, the futility of their mind. That word futility is from the original word, which has reference to something that's devoid of truth or depraved. It's especially in a moral sense that this is something that has no element of the truth, and as a result of that, it lives in a way against it. In verse 18, you notice the word ignorance that is there. It's a word that is one of three that's used in the original language for ignorance. This one especially talks about an ignorance of divine truth, not just truth of any sort, but that which is of a divine nature, and as that which is against the knowledge of God or the gnosis that is there of God. It is the opposite of it. It goes not just without that, but against that as a result of it. When we start out a life of darkness, that start will always be from those who are ignorant of the truth. It's been well said that we're always just one generation away from apostasy. Why? The very point that's made in the book of Judges. There arose a generation that knew not God and what they do. They did all kinds of evil things as a result. And that's why the people of God always need to be vigilant about keeping a knowledge of God's will. Over in the 82nd Psalm, in the 82nd Psalm and in verse 5, there the psalmist says this, "They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable." You notice that? Those two are put in opposition, an understanding and darkness. When you look at that, you're noticing those that have no knowledge or understanding are, in the very definition, those who are walking in darkness. What comes from that? Look at the last part of that verse. He said, all the foundations of the earth are what? Unstable. That doesn't mean they're inherently unstable. It means to those who are without that knowledge, they are unstable. Contrast that with something like the 119th Psalm, for instance. In the 119th Psalm, and in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So instead of following God's word and directing ourselves by His will, a life of darkness begins with a way that is unknowing of God's will, unknowing of His truth. Look over in John chapter 1. Why was it that Jesus, when He came into this world, was not heeded as He should have been? By whom was He not heeded? The majority were there. They did not follow Christ. But why? John starts out his gospel pointing that out, noting the nature of Jesus. Look at it in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was that was made was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let me stop right there for just a minute. What's the point that's being made? Here comes in the Word. That Word was who? It was Jesus Christ. He was God from the beginning. And as He came into this world, He was full of divine light or truth. The glory of God, that Shekinah of the Old Testament, symbolized that sense of God as the very epitome of light. That's exactly what 1 John points out. In Him is light and no darkness at all. That's talking about the idea of truth, that which is of His will. God is the very embodiment of truth. Now, as He came into this world, what did He do? He gave forth that light. Now, how? Do you notice back up in verse 1, that point is assumed for us to know? What happened? In the beginning was the Word. How was the light made known? By the Word. By the representation of a truth. By a message that was given. And that's the point that's made in verse 5. The light shined in the darkness. How did Jesus do that? Not only by His life and by the things that He did, but by the truth that He declared. And when He declared that truth, He declared it to people who weren't willing to listen sometimes. So what happened? That darkness ensued. There was a lack of understanding. Now go on in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that through him, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That's who Jesus was. If we doubt that that's the Christ, all we have to do is go down to verse 14 and notice the very point that's made. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His name is Jesus. And so when He came into this world, He came in with grace, with truth. That truth was the light. And when men listened to His truth, that which was of God, which had a divine origin about it, then they were illuminated to know what it was that was true and right. Look, if you will, over in Romans chapter 1. What happens when men are not illuminated by that truth because they do not look to the right source of God? In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 18, the Apostle Paul begins his condemnation of the Gentile world and their path of sin. He says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Now look what they do. "Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God," in other words, they had everything there to see that there was a God behind this, "although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful." Now notice this. "But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." You see the point? When we leave off the origin of truth, God, then we sink into this abyss of a life that is in darkness. That's why we need to accept first that God is, and that He is the one who is the instructor to us. He is the one who has the truth that we need to see. That's why God has made this world in such a way that you and I can look at it and recognize it couldn't have happened of itself. It didn't happen of any man. There was something far greater of the sufficient wisdom and power to bring about a universe that is of an expanse that we cannot even comprehend. There's the kind of God that we seek. A kind of God that is far above us, both in wisdom and in power. And so when man turns away from that and does not accept it, there's going to be a darkness that comes from that. I want you to notice something. That's not just true of an atheist. I think we recognize that. Someone who says God does not exist. This world just came from a big bang. As ridiculous as that isn't the only one that's going to go into that abyss of darkness. What about the one who recognizes there is God, who understands that fact in a mental sense, and then gives that up? They become those who shove that away from them. The same thing's going to happen there, you see. Because that life of darkness is going to come from the mind first, the thought. And if that information is bad, that I seek the wrong thing for how I live and what I'm about and what everything in this world is here for, if I don't have that right information, there's no way I can go but into darkness from that. And that's what the second part of that talks about. There's a second step that is there, that when one rejects the truth, the light, then what happens? Self-deception causes one to be intensified in that ignorance. You ever notice that about humanity? It isn't just that they stay at a certain level of ignorance. If they reject something that is true, they go further and further into it, and you have absolute catastrophe coming from them. That's the nature of it. If you decide, I'm not going to listen to math, I'm not going to think anything about that, you know what? You're not going to just forget the idea of what's the order of ascendance and all the things that are there with multiplication, division, all the addition, subtraction, all of that. You're not going to forget just that. You're going to forget the very simplest points. And you let that go, and it's going to be even less of something that is a knowledge. You're not going to make any application of that, and a simple thing comes along, you can't even do the work with that. If you don't believe that, just go to a fast food place and watch what happens when your change is supposed to be there. We don't even have a lack of understanding of addition and subtraction anymore. It's something that's abysmal. There's no idea of what a whole dollar is or what a quarter is or anything like that. Many times anymore. Why? Because the fundamentals have been left off. And when the fundamentals are left off, they have those complications that come from that. The same thing happens with regard to divine truth. When we leave off the truth of God's will, then what takes place? Over in Romans, the 10th chapter in verse 1, Paul talks about his brethren of Israel in this same point. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God." What happened there? There was a desire to do what was right in some sense. But what did they have? They had the idea of a rejection of God's will. They had gotten their own standard of righteousness. I pointed out several times here, and I think you're well aware of what took place during this time. The idea of the development of rabbinic tradition, the Mishnah, what ultimately becomes the Talmud. They no longer had their focus on what God's law said. Their idea is, we don't want to violate God's law, so we're going to back that up a little bit, and here's our rabbinic traditions. And we're going to pay attention to these rabbinic traditions, and they'll tell us what to do in every situation, and therefore we're going to be real sure we don't violate that law. Sounds good, but what happened? What happened is what Paul talks about. That instead of submitting to the righteousness of God, what God's will was, they submitted to their own righteousness. And what happens with any human will? It changes over time. And what happened was they became flagrantly those who violated the will of God. While they added things that were not necessary according to the law, they took away other things that were. Both Matthew 12 and Matthew 15 speak to that very point. The idea was what? When they didn't like what God said, they went and developed their own way. And now what do they have? They have a further self-deception. Not only are they not knowledgeable of God's truth, now they satisfy themselves that we're following truth. But they were following that which was of human wisdom and human law, not of divine law. And as a result of that, they're firmly convinced that they're doing great. And yet they're involved in sin all the way down the line. Look at an illustration that I think is intended by John chapter 9. Jesus is speaking to this blind man. And John is showing us something that even a blind man could see, if you will. That here was this man blind, born blind. But he saw what the Jewish leaders could not see. In verse 24, the Jewish leaders are spoken of, and they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man, speaking of Jesus, is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from. Yet he opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if a man is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. since the world began, it had not been heard, it had been unheard of, that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You see the point of reasoning? The point of truth. What was the recognition that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift? James 1:17 says that, not by way of proving it. That's an obvious point. When you look at this world, you have to conclude there is a God. He made it in such a way that He blessed all mankind. He made it in such a way that it continues after its form. Now, having seen that God is the source of all good, and that the devil is the source only of that which is evil and bad, that which goes downhill, not uphill, then what does this man reason? He didn't have physical sight, but he had spiritual sight. He had an understanding that if this man opened my eyes when I was born blind, he has to have power that comes from God. He reached a correct conclusion. He reached the only conclusion he could. But what did these people who could see and hear and go about and live their normal life, what did they see? Nothing. Why? They had already rejected this man is not from God. Did they listen to the prophecies with regard to him? Nope. Did they listen to the truth that he taught? Nope. They look at the miracles that he worked. They had rejected it. But a man born blind could see enough to know that this must be the Messiah. That he was indeed that one. Jesus revealed that to him and told him who he was. And he became a follower of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 10, Jesus told his disciples why it was that he spoke in parables. I hear sometimes people say that Jesus spoke in parables in order to reveal the truth to his disciples and keep it from those who were the Jews around him. I doubt very seriously that anybody who had half a brain could not figure out that they were being spoken against with some of the parables of Jesus. It's obvious. Now, look what Jesus says about it. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive, for the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" When you look at this point of having those hearts that are dulled, that's the point that is being made of why this takes place. He says, what's the problem? Where did it come from that they have this lack of sight or lack of hearing? Their hearts have grown dull of hearing, you say. It's not just a process of something that took place at one point in time. When one doesn't listen to God, they get in a habit of not listening to God. As a matter of fact, they get in the habit of so not listening to God that they reject that and absolutely will not listen. And they become absolutely rebellious. That's the point that is there of one who lives in a life of darkness. You know, when you hear the gospel the first time, young people, And it's the first time you understand it, that you need to be baptized for the remission of sins because you're a sinner and you're lost in the sight of God. And you need to be obedient to that. The first time you hear that, you need to think about what you're doing if you decide you're going to reject it and not listen. I remember hearing the gospel the first time that I understood really clearly that I had sinned and I was lost. R.J. Stevens was preaching in a meeting. We had just moved down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and R.J. was kind of like my second dad. He was staying with us and he preached. And I remember hearing the first time and thinking about that. It was Monday night of that gospel meeting. I need to obey the gospel. But what I did was I did the white knuckle job. You know what that is? It's when you hold on to the pew in front of you and you don't want to let loose. I don't want to go down front. So I held on tight, and I held on tight all week long. On Sunday, preacher got up and he preached an excellent gospel lesson. The one Sunday night was dealing with some of the fundamentals of obedience to the gospel and why baptism. And I white-knuckled it again. And I thought about it, and on Tuesday when I came home from school, my mom asked me, "Why didn't you obey the gospel during the meeting?" She said, "I could see you knew what you were needing to do." Well, a lot of people could talk to me and I could not think about it, but Mom was different. When your mom talks with you, you listen. That night, song of invitation was sung after class in the first verse. I was down to the front pew. What would have happened if I would have decided not to listen to Mom, too? I'd listened to the preacher all week long. I'd been able to get over that and not think about it a whole lot. Young people, when you decide I'm not going to obey the gospel, you're setting up a pattern of darkness. And that pattern of darkness says that you're not going to listen to what God says. And you need to let His truth in. But parents of those young people, the same thing is there for you. When we hear what the truth is, what God's will is with regard to the family, or with regard to modesty, or with regard to the church, you name it, when you don't listen to truth and you put that aside, let me tell you what happens. What happens is a descent into darkness starts to occur. And that leads to that last one that we want to talk about. The actions that manifest that darkness. When you look over in John, the third chapter, and in verse 18 beginning, Jesus said, "He who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." He's not listened to His authority, to His will. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." You see the point that this represents? Jesus came teaching the truth. They rejected it. They went further into that by growing dull. And now what's happened? Now what's happened is, he said, they've rejected that because they love their sin. They love the darkness and the evil that comes from it. And as a result of that, they're in a continuing path of that way. Over in Romans chapter 1, that's the very clear point that's made by the Apostle Paul. As he's talked about the darkness of rejecting God, look at it in verse 26. "For this reason, God gave them, who's the them that he's talking about? The Gentiles that had rejected the knowledge of God and rejected his will. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. I recognize that homosexuality is a sin just like every other one. You don't have ones that are mortal and venial as the Catholic Church talks about. All sin will separate from God. But let me suggest something to you. The Bible uses homosexuality as an illustration of how revolting sin can get because it ignores the obvious. When he said the women, the natural use of the women, there is a leaving of that. So that you have men cleaving to men and women cleaving to women, it doesn't take much to figure out that you have a certain purpose that is there within nature. That's obvious. And when that is rejected, and I now go to what is against even the natural use, what does it say? It's saying, I've given myself over to darkness and evil just about as far as you can go. And that's what happens when a society starts to accept homosexuality as that which is to be seen as a norm. It's not a norm. It's against the very understanding of the basic of men and women. But what he does is go on from there, and he makes that point with regard to all sin in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What's the point? Isn't it obvious? When you leave the light of God's Word, you ignore that, and now you become one who's intensifying yourself in it. One sin's going to compound another and another and another, and you go fully and totally away from God. In Ephesians chapter 5, that's the very point. This new man ought to live in a way that's after the light of truth. Why? Because if he doesn't, he's going to live after that old man in a way of ignorance and evil. And it's going to compound further and further and further. You see, the fact of it is, when we become alienated from Christ in a life of darkness, that's because we started out with wrong information. We didn't listen to the truth of God. And then we put that wrong information into our mind, and it became our will to do those things that are opposed to God. And from that will opposed to God, what happened? Actions of every kind are going to sprout out of that. You see how simple it is? It isn't difficult to understand why some people descend into a life of darkness. They've been cut off from the light. They're in isolation. And that light is not present. They can't see truth. And they act according to their own imaginations. Their senseless heart is darkened. And there's evil of every form. We're going to talk about the reversing of that. Getting out of that in the light that is in the light. Next time, Lord willing. Lessons yours. We're going to go to God in a word of prayer as we end this hour, and we'll be dismissed and then go to our classes to start those at 10 o'clock.